The verification program started in the late 90s, where we basically are validating benefits to people in this country. So on the save side, we validate that someone would be eligible for, say, healthcare.gov, or for a driver's license from a DMV. And then on the e-verify side, we validate that they're eligible for employment in this country. So over the years, the program has only grown on top with more complexity. And the original architecture that we started with turns out to be not so great now that we're in the late 2017 period, right? So what we decided to do is kick off a major modernization program that will enable us to do quite a few objectives that we're now trying to do in light of some pending legislation for mandatory e-verify. So right now our current architecture is capped out at our user base, right? So if we went to a tenfold user base, we would be very unsuccessful. So what we did is we kicked off this modernization project to convert this legacy architecture and modularize it into several smaller projects. So one of these major pieces is the Verify project, another one being SVS. So what we wanted to do is go with a whole new architecture and technology stack that puts us more down the continuous delivery pipeline, including much faster deployments straight to production, not this fear of deploying to production once every quarter, where most things break because we didn't really test it. We didn't get user feedback, things like that, where the risk is so high because you've piled in so many features into this release. So now we're up to doing numerous deployments a day, whereas we did quarterly or monthly deployments in the legacy architecture. And really, that's kind of where we are.
Craig from Accella Consulting, talk a little bit about your role, the Accella's role with working with USCIS.
Well, I oversee all of our software delivery for our USCIS programs. And really, we've been engaged with Eric and the USCIS team for several years now. We supply small, agile teams, and we are working, as Eric said, on various components of the verification system at USCIS. And what we're doing is breaking off chunks of legacy applications and building them from the scratch, you know, from the start in the cloud, so that we have teams that are autonomous and writing the code for our applications and then pushing them out to production continuously as well.
So in many ways, what you're doing is you're changing the tires on the moving car. We've heard that adage several times, but you're taking the tire off almost and putting a new one on.
There are certainly constraints and dependencies on legacy components. You can't just shut them off. Really, what we've tried to do is avoid the big lift and shift, instead break off pieces at a time and make those changes to both systems live. There is a database that's used and is dependent upon by various agencies. So we have to incrementally break stuff out as well as not adversely impact the legacy systems there until we have the ability to turn them off.
Eric, you heard a couple of things from Craig. You heard cloud, you heard agile, all the big buzzwords. Tell me the difference it's making. How you mentioned about getting, for instance, new components through the testing process much more quickly. What difference are you making? What kind of changes are you seeing from a USCIS perspective?
The underpinning cultural change that we see at USCIS really has been the framework that makes this project possible. And I think that really started about 4 years ago, where we started to make dramatic shifts in how we address technological problems at CIS. And I think that the number one problem was we were just, our deployments are so far and few, and there's so much red tape getting things out to production, that fear of getting into production, that as we've changed that culture where it's more enablement. So for case in point, is like with the testing, it's like, okay, you're failing here, here, and here in your testing, right? And here is how you should switch to a better approach to pass this testing, whether that be for security or for our end-to-end functional testing, anything. All of that should be more of the approach of how do we enable you to get into production rather than how do we red tape you and stop you from deploying.
How much difference is the verification system today than it was a year ago, than it was 3 years ago?
A year ago, we did kick off our first chunk of the modernization work. I think the critical part about that was it really proved that this approach is working very well. So at this point now, we've kicked off all of the modular pieces that we're doing under the modernization work. So we're basically taking that formula and repeating. If we go back further in time, say 5 years ago, we're basically working in a system where the requirements come up front well in advance. We keep rewriting requirements, and we never make it past the conceptual phase, where we have binders and binders worth of requirements that we plan to develop, and actually nothing actually makes it into production.
What about on the user side, the citizen side? If I'm looking to apply for benefits or I'm looking to verify something, what's different for me, the user?
For you, the user, the idea for us is to make usability a lot better and improve that experience. And to back up our measuring of that, we're collecting metrics, baseline metrics of the way we used to do things in the old system, and then measuring them in the new system to ensure that the things we're doing to improve that experience actually matter. So for instance, when we're enrolling new people into our website, previously we'd have around 60% of people that kind of give up on the process to sign up. Now we're measuring that, and I believe we're down to like 30% or lower. So we're really like making a difference and making the site more usable, and we're tracking that with real hard numbers.
How are you measuring the cost or cost savings or cost avoidance? Talk a little bit about that, Eric.
As we start to modernize this work, one of the efforts was we wanted to have a lower cost sustainability in the future. So what we've been doing so far is as we bring things in Amazon, the overall cost of the product goes a lot lower. A lot of the operational element to it is now coded. So there's no longer where someone has to go in and patch the server or manually take care of efforts. And then what we're doing is we're taking a lot of that cost savings and reinvesting into the rest of the modernization effort so we can actually fully do this on what we would normally call our sustainment dollars. So the idea is to actually get all this development work to continue, but at a much lower dollar threshold for the organization. I think this year we dropped at least $10 million in contracts that no longer were relevant, and for operational costs and hosting costs from other environments that used to be really expensive with all the data center maintenance, and then now consolidating that down into one cloud contract.
Craig, talk a little bit about the challenges that you guys have faced coming in. I mean, modifying, modernizing, innovating, whatever word you want to use, a system like this is not easy. What were some of the biggest challenges you overcame?
So I think some of the biggest things we've overcome certainly have to do with the data we're handling. I mean, a lot of the data that goes through this system is very sensitive. You know, it's immigration data, it's personal. We have to be very careful with it. So we've helped with USCIS to really pioneer a lot of the correct security encryption standards that we have to adhere to in the cloud. And by doing so, we've tried to set a model for how other components within DHS and then across the federal government can use the cloud securely and be comfortable that there are great ways to secure, you know, sensitive information.
What comes next? What's the next set of modernization efforts? You know, you got through, you said all the modules at least have started or are in progress. If we have this conversation again in a year from now, what's going to be different?
Not to spoil too much, but we're undertaking a new effort called PCS, which is a person-centric data model. This is a fundamental part of us making faster decisions on when people are eligible for these benefits. And this involves us taking our data, which is all transactional from our other source systems across USCIS, where it's like we received X form from this person when they started their relationship with the USCIS, applying for their green card, and so on and so forth. We're taking all these transactions and we're going to change them into a person-centric model, where we know this individual and here's all the information about them and all of the experiences we've had. When they came in to visit us in person at an ASC, when they applied for X benefit, here's their current status on their green card. And all of that all tracked in one package. That way we can then say, oh, here's your employment card. Great. Yep, we know everything about you. You know, yep, that is a check. We already know that those documents match up. Go ahead. We can now approve you for whatever benefit you needed.
Craig, the experiences you guys have had with USCIS at DHS, how can that turn into some for your other clients? Is there some lessons learned that you're applying to other agencies?
USCIS has made a lot of noise in the industry, and everybody has taken notice, you know, particularly because they're not afraid to take risks. It's okay, you know, if you fail, just do it quickly so you can recover from it. And that's kind of really what we've tried to take to other agencies, you know, to their risk level a little bit more, you know, tolerant.
Eric, finally, what does this Igniting Innovation Award mean for you guys at USCIS?
For us, it means that we're on the right path, and I think it shows that we want to keep pushing the bar on this and kind of spread that knowledge with as many of our other federal counterparts as possible. I think the success isn't just us, but the federal government as a whole really kind of adopting, you know, not just being behind the commercial sector, but really catch up and do projects that are on the same page as the commercial sector, pushing the bleeding edge. So I think for us, we really want to drive that effort and, you know, be the leaders not only in the government but across the board.